Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we answer the questions who, what, where, why, when, which. Like, who is Hardy White? When am I listening to him? Where am I listening to him? Which one is Hardy White? When is this introduction going to be over? Where's the funny part?
I see Hardy left the non-dairy creamer on the counter. I think I'll give it a try.
You want me to pass it to you?
No, it's cool. I'll get it.
Suit yourself.
This looks weird. I guess non-dairy means plastic.
You should use real cream. I only use real cream in my fake coffee. Hey, I see in the paper they picked a new Doctor Who.
Oh, who is it?
It's not specific. It just says white male between the ages of 25 and 65, average build.
Well, I'll be on the lookout. Morning, Hardy.
Morning, Lou.
Morning, Hardy.
Morning, Butch. Hey, where's my jar of melamine? Never mind. I'll make the thermal insulation for the time machine with non-dairy creamer.
Speaking of the time machine, maybe we could use it to travel back in time to some earlier shows.
I'd like to go to Pittsburgh in the 20s.
I was thinking we could go to breakfast a couple weeks ago.
Okay, I'm not an idiot. I know what's going on.
What? Nothing.
You guys are barely using my name or talking to me. And Lou wants to go back in time because he doesn't like the new me.
That's not true.
Yeah, you're still you, Butchie.
A full body transplant isn't a strange thing anymore. People get them all the time. I'm still the same old Butchie.
Of course you are.
Just because I have a completely new body and mind, I still have the same memories, more or less. I'm still Butchie. You can't rob me of my identity just because I appear different to you. Your perception doesn't define who I am. I define who I am. And I am Baruch Butchie Spinoza, born up north somewhere and raised all over. I am me, with the same likes and dislikes and the same ambivalent feelings about you two goofballs.
Yep, that's Butchie.
Of course that's Butchie. Things change all the time.
Right.
Change is the only constant. Wasn't it Democritus who said you can't step twice in the same river?
No, it was Heraclitus.
What?
It was Heraclitus.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes.
Well, they must have changed it.
Democritus is the cheese cutter. He kept cutting the cheese in half until it was pointless, demonstrating the pointlessness of deli work.
Oh, right.
Anyway, the river is still the river, even though the water is different.
True.
Doctor Who is the same, even though he looks different and is not as interesting.
Very true.
So why can't you accept that I am still Butchie with a full body transplant?
You're right. That's our hang-up.
You keep changing your beard length, but you're still Hardy. And Lou, you change the name of the island your grandma's from every few weeks, but you're still Lou.
Point taken.
To make it up to you, Butchie, you can pick dinner for the next month.
And where we go in the time machine?
It's a deal.
Swear on it?
I swear.
I swear.
Good. It's done. You can come out now, Butchie.
What?
Oh, man, you guys are idiots. Butchie, what the heck? You guys are so gullible. You are awful, you know that? I'm pretty awful, thanks.
I knew there wasn't such a thing as a full body transplant.
Hey, that's not cool.
I assure you there is.
Sorry about that, Don. These guys are a little slow.
Don? Don, is that you?
Yes, Hardy. I had a full body transplant. After the accident, the doctor said that was the only way I'd fully recover.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had no idea.
Yeah, Don agreed to help me out so I could trick you guys into letting me pick what we'd have for dinner and also where we'd go in the time machine.
Sorry, Don. What's it like having a brand new body?
Very nice.
Butchie, what is it? That's not Don. That's my friend Bob from Pittsburgh.
Yinz are so easily fooled.
Aren't they? Anyway, thanks again, Bob. I'll see you at chess club.
More later, Butch.
I can't believe how you guys will believe anything, even if it's completely illogical. You're saps. Your sentiment obscures your reason.
Well, maybe. But I've seen people go through changes.
Yep. Remember when Don turned into a house?
Okay, I'll give you that. But he had the same voice. If the voice changes, then you know it's a different person.
Not Barney Rubble.
Excuse me?
Barney Rubble on the Flintstones. Mel Blanc did the voice. But then, during the second season, he was in a car crash and couldn't do it, so Dawes Butler took over for a while. But it was still Barney. The same writers, the same appearance, just a slightly different voice.
But Barney isn't real, not like us.
Yeah, we're real live radio characters, with actual fictional histories and personalities.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're real. Right?
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Hardy White. Welcome to Miracle Nutrition.
Oh, I'm just fooling you. I can't do voices, first of all. This is Hardy. I was just kidding. Man, I can't pretend to be someone I'm not. What you see is what you get. Unlike those menus that have pictures of the food on them, where the ice cream is really mashed potatoes. Why is that? Because you can't really take a picture of ice cream because it will melt under the heat of the light bulb. That's where we get the expression, if you want to melt ice cream, use heat. How can a light bulb melt ice cream? Well, it produces heat. It can actually cook something. I don't know if you were ever young, but when I was young, I had one of these Easy Bake ovens. I never had one, actually. A friend had one, but I coveted it. Isn't that the same thing? And these Easy Bake ovens, the trick was there was a light bulb in there, and you could cook using the light bulb. So I tracked one down recently, and I got one, and it doesn't work the same way. It doesn't cook anymore, I guess because I used a compact fluorescent light bulb. And so I put the cake batter in there, and it just went rancid. I hope that I don't make you rancid because I give off light but no heat. Or maybe I give off heat but no light. I remember when I'd stay in hotels as a kid, sometimes in the bathroom there were different kinds of lights up there. There was one that was like a heat lamp and another one was like a heat lamp. I don't know. One was white light, right? And you put it on and you go, man, things are unbearably bright and hot. And then there was another that was a red light. And I don't know if that was... maybe if you were traveling and you wanted to develop pictures in there, say, I need a dark room. But there was a kind of red light that keeps your hamburgers warm in the 50s. And I would put them on and off. I think one was a sun lamp. If you wanted to tan, say, hey, I'm sitting on the toilet. I might as well get a tan on my privates while I'm here, or something like that. So different kinds of light does different things, makes things appear differently. And speaking of menu items, I have friends who have a Chinese restaurant, and on the counter, over the counter, there's pictures of the food. They've had pictures. Now, they've been there for a really long time, so the light that comes in from the window has faded them and, I guess, taken out all the yellows and reds, and so all the food looks blue or green. Now, the actual food isn't blue or green because, as we know from George Carlin, there is no blue food. What a funny routine. But there's plenty of green food. But this food is not blue-green. I mean, when you get the orange chicken, it's brown like it's supposed to be. But what has happened is now the pictures have faded and it looks differently. Oh, there is a problem in philosophy, and it's called philosophy. I'll explain some of it. I've done a little reading, and by a little reading, I mean very, very little. I haven't read much. And why is that? Because I have to do other things, like eat and waste time. And that takes, wasting time takes a lot of time. It really does. It's one of those kind of paradoxical. I made that word up. Paradoxical. No, maybe I didn't. Paradoxes. Nicole. It's like I heard one time that when you eat celery, it takes more calories to digest it than you get from the celery. So if you keep eating celery, you'll die of starvation. Is this true? I don't know. I also heard if you boil down lettuce, you can get high. Not true. At least my experience is that it's not true. But there's lots of problems like this in philosophy. Between wasting time, I discovered this because there's books that say, you know, oh, are you an idiot? Here's some ideas that have been dumbed down for you. I like that. I need that. I need that. I used to do that with classical music. So here's a guy used to come on the TV and say, "Are you an idiot? Here's classical music for those who want like a best of classical. Remember Rachmaninoff's hit, blah, blah, blah," and everything was reduced to song length. "Here's Borodin's something, something, something." And you'd get it and say, "Oh, I love classical songs." And they'd all be reduced to a very short length like that. Easily digestible, because some things take, like I said, a long time to digest. Do you know there's some things that can't be digested? I always heard that as a kid. If you swallow a gumball, thanks for the gumball, Popeye, first of all, they you say on TV. Why is that? I guess because Popeye, during the war, saved a whole ship full of gumballs that the Nazis or the Germans, pre-Nazi Germans, I guess he's a World War I vet, were going to sink. And Popeye was, or whatever his catchphrase was, "You're not going to sink those gumballs." And so now we still thank him for the gumballs and say, "Remember the," I always also say, "Remember the Alamo and remember the Maine and remember all this." And it's so funny because we remember those phrases, but we don't know what they're about. That's the way memory is, and identity. The Problem of Identity by Hardy White. And I have my own identity problem. I'll tell you about that in a bit. Back when there was an election, it was George Bush the First, Lord Kennebunkport, or just Kennebunkport, versus Bill Clinton and Ross Perot. I don't know if you remember him. Some people don't because of the Mandela effect. He doesn't exist in all timelines. But there was three candidates, all right? And Ross Perot's vice presidential pick was a guy named Admiral Lord Stockdale. Not Lord Stockdale. Admiral James Stockdale. Why do I want to call him Admiral Lord? I want to give everybody a lordship, don't I? Everybody. Oh, Lord. I want to give everybody a title. I want to give you, make you, you know why? Because you're all nobility to me. Oh, humans are all noble in a way, just like the gases on the right side of the periodic table. So this Admiral Stockdale, there was a vice presidential debate between one of them and the other one of them. And I might be getting this all wrong. I don't even remember. But there was a vice presidential debate. I think Al Gore was in there or something. And Admiral Stockdale. And it was Admiral Stockdale's turn to speak. And this is how he introduced himself. He said, "Who am I? Why am I here?" And everybody laughed. You know, I don't know why. Because what he had done is he was the first person to pose what they now call philosophical questions. Now, the obvious answer is you're Admiral Stockdale and you're there because it's the vice presidential debate and you're a vice presidential candidate. But that's so obvious. That's just one level of things. What he was really saying is explaining the problem of identity and also the problem of purpose, which I think betrays a teleological bias. But let's skip that part and just stick with the identity. Who is he? Who is Admiral Stockdale? Do we really know who we are? Who am I? And I'll skip the why am I here part. That's easier. I'm here because I have a radio show. And if I don't do it, they'll give it to somebody else. And then somebody else will be Hardy White. No, no. They'll use a different name and have different stuff that they do. Maybe they'll play music. Hello, and welcome to my music show. I'm fixing to play this album that I got. And what is it? Grab the first app. Play that game where you grab a stack of CDs.
Okay. I got CDs next to me.
What do you have?
Well, I got a couple. I'm going to really play this game because I do have some CDs. I have,
what do I have if I was going to play something? Oh, here's, this is interesting. This is Clifford Brown and Eric Dolphy together. I didn't even know they were alive at the same time. They were, but this is recorded. It's one recording. And they were recorded at Eric Dolphy's parents' house in 1954. I guess Max Roach needed a place to rehearse. And so they're like, let's go over to the Dolphy's house. This actually happened. And somebody had a cheap tape recorder and they recorded it. How about that? The late Richie Powell, the late everybody is there.
And then I got a bunch of other stuff. Raymond Scott. Are you going to play music? No, I'm not. But I digress. What I really want to talk about is identity. Who are you? You know, back in the day, and when I say the day, I mean back in the Greek mythology that wasn't there at all, there was a mythological king who founded Athens. Georgia? Oh, I don't think so. I think it's Greece.
You said Athens.
I know. I don't know how I heard it now. But anyway, his name was Theseus. And he invented the master's thesis. No, he didn't. Oh, that's not even a good pun. I know. I'm thinking maybe I'm going to be a father because it's a dad thing. Why do they always attribute that, say, dad humor, dad puns? Why is that? I think that's because once somebody's a father, they just don't care anymore because they're not trying to woo anybody, maybe. So they're not trying to look cool. So they become who they really were all along. And they become the real them. Who's the real you? I don't know. We're trying to get to, if you stop digressing, maybe we can answer this very simple question of identity. It is very simple, isn't it? The question is, right? The answer, not so much. I thought you didn't have answers. I don't. I attempt them, and then that kills an hour, and then you can listen to some music. So just hang on there. We need to get this hour dead. This hour is a lot like Rasputin. First, we got to poison him. Then, we got to beat him up. Then, we got to stab him. And finally, maybe Rasputin will lie in the grave. And then, if it's a comic book, they got to dig him up and bring him back for some reason. Oh, just let him die, won't you? Why does everything have to be dug up again? People love to dig up graves and love to steal the skulls and love to put candles on top of the skulls and love to say fake incantations and love. Why is that? Because they like to scare themselves, maybe? People love to stare into the face of death. I'm going to get things made of skulls so I can have all these memento mori around me and I remember that I'm going to die. Why is that? I don't know. Just to taint my existence, to make it to walk around in a state of fear. I guess it makes you feel like you got to do something. Boy, that's pressure, isn't it? Say, oh, I got to accomplish something. I'm fixing to die. Well, what? Well, I don't know. I guess I'll figure that out. Now you're going to waste all your time figuring out what you're going to do before you die and you won't do anything. So, again, I've gone off on this path. I got to get back. The problem is, here's the problem with my mind palace is a tesseract. It's a four-dimensional cube. And so sometimes in my mind palace, I will go into a room, and when I leave that room, I'm in a different hallway altogether, not the one I entered in. So I don't even know. I'll say, wait for me. I'm going to go in here and retrieve a memory. I go into the room. I come back, and it's not the hallway you're in. Why are you coughing? Stomach acid? I'm having a little reflux today. Oh, my goodness. Why is that? I don't know. Sometimes I think it's because I don't breathe when I talk. Because I think, well, I'm talking, I don't need to breathe. I want to give you all the air in my lungs in the form of words. Oh, take them into yourself and make them into something. Use my words. Use my words. So Theseus was this king of Athens, founded Athens. And Theseus had a ship. Oh, you're going to bring this back to Popeye, aren't you? I'm not. I'm going to leave Popeye out of it for once. Popeye wants to be left out of it. And Ham Gravy, who's that? Popeye's old love rival that you don't see. He got pushed out of the way because he wasn't as good as Popeye. They replaced him. So while they were both olive oil suitor, you don't remember the first one. You don't remember Ham Gravy. That always grosses me out. I've never had gravy on ham. How do you even make it? Ham drippings plus flour? What do you make, a roux and then pour? Oh, gosh, I don't want any. So Theseus had this ship, and his ship was very famous because he was very famous. And they wanted, after Theseus died, again, he didn't exist, so how did he die? But, well, maybe he did exist. We don't know now because, and I'll tell you why. So he had this ship, and they said, we're going to preserve the ship of Theseus. All right. You know, they do that now. Say, we're going to,
That was Henry Clay's house. Yeah, we're gonna make it a local national monument. And preserve it. All right, don't tear it down, because that was his house. All right. So they had this ship of Theseus, and it sat there. Now, years pass, and it's an old wooden ship, so it starts to fall into disrepair, and they have to repair planks. So a plank might rot, and they put a new plank on it. After a little more time, they got to put a new plank on that, more planks. The mast crumbles. They must put a new mast on it. Now, eventually, oh, you're way ahead of me. Come on back. Come on back here. You're like a child running off. Do not run ahead of me in the mall like that. You just scared me half to death. You could run out there. The crowd could form, or you could run into that shop right there, and I never see you again. Now, I know you think you know where you're going, but you come back here with me. I'm sorry to be cross with you. Just scared me. You just scared me. Do not run off like that. You get lost, I wouldn't know what I would do. All right? So just because you know where I'm going, you think you know where I'm going, don't run ahead like that. Am I going to have to make you hold my hand? No. Are you sure?
Yes.
Will you stay by my side?
Yes.
So eventually they replaced everything on the ship of Theseus. Now, is it still the ship of Theseus? This is the problem of identity, they tell me. So they tell me. Who is they? People that I trust to write these books? Why do you trust them? I don't know. I got to work that out too. I'm sure there's a book called The Problem of Trust. So is it still, when did it stop being, you say, well, no, it's not the original ship of Theseus anymore because it's all new wood and everything like that. It's in the same place maybe, or maybe even they moved it. So how is it the ship of Theseus? Well, when did it stop being? After the first plank was replaced or after the last original plank was replaced? Oh, I don't know. That's interesting. Yes, well, here's even more interesting. This problem permeates almost everything that we choose to give an identity to. So even yourself, your own self. Oh, what about my own self? Well, the 10-year-old you. Go look at a picture. Now look at a picture of you now. Is that the same you? Well, yeah. Well, almost everything in your body has changed. Almost every cell has been replaced.
Well, not your neurons in your brain.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, what are you going to do with that?
Well, they don't really replace it. The same cell, however, homeostasis. I mean, the on a molecular level, there's different stuff there. So, same configuration, but they're different too. Look at you. And you're still you?
Yes, because of the same time worm.
What's a time worm? Time worm is a little character invented by the late Richard Scarry. And he's like, he had Lowly the Worm, and he thought, or is it just Lowly Worm? His middle name is The, but they dropped it. Time worm. And he said, I'm time worm. And time worm is connected everywhere he goes. You can still see him. So he's not, when he walks down the road, the old him remains. So it just looks like an even bigger worm. And the books, that the time worm books, are just one pink page. You see what I'm saying? Because every time he moves all over the place, it stays the same. Do you follow me? So if you were connected and you could actually see the past you, you would see one continual thing. Some people say if that time worm is interrupted, that's when you end. Who knows? But I'll say, think about this. Did you ever have a relative that had dementia? Now, it's no joke now. Now we're going to get serious. So did you ever have somebody that lost their memories? And you say, well, that's not Meemaw, because Meemaw didn't yell the F word at people and throw feces and everything. Yes, exactly. So you say that's not Meemaw anymore, but look, it looks like Meemaw. Her time worm is interrupted. So it's your memories? Is it your memories that's you? Are you your memories? Is that your identity? If it's not your body? Your body can turn on you and change. Is your memories you? Well, let me say this. If your memories are you, then I am Chateaubriand, not the steak, the actual person, René Chateaubriand. So Chateaubriand lived in the 18th century, right?
Yes, I suppose so. and he wrote an autobiography called something like Up Out of the Grave or In the Grave or I'm Dead Now. And his point was he was going to talk smack about a lot of people and have his autobiography published posthumously so he'd be speaking from beyond the grave. Now, Chateaubriand has been confirmed dead. He is dead. But I have read his autobiography. Those are his memories. So currently, I have more of Chateaubriand's memories than he has. Therefore, I am Chateaubriand. Well, that can't be true. Is it? Is it? No. Is it? No. Is it? No. Is it? No. Maybe? Who knows? Isn't that interesting, though? No. Hey, listen, I don't want you to turn the dials. What can I do? I'll do a little dance or something. Do more funny voices. I'm trying. How's this one? So this problem of identity, it pops up everywhere. The other day, I was reading some comic books written by Alan Moore. Now, he wrote a bunch, he's written a bunch of comic books, but the two that I want to talk about are Swamp Thing and Miracle Man, a.k.a. Marvel Man, a.k.a. Miracle Man, a.k.a. Marvel Man. And why are those interesting? Well, here's the thing. So he would take, they'd have these characters, and they'd say, well, they're going nowhere, let's give them to Alan. And Alan would say, well, I want to start all over again, sort of. So I need to find a way of changing the character, even though it's already got a history and everything. And so we came up with a couple things. The one that everybody points out is that the characters, particularly Marvel Man and or Miracle Man and Swamp Thing, is that they learn that their entire history, their memories were incorrect, that what they thought about themselves was wrong. So this is very interesting, a way of making them someone different, right? Take their memories, tell somebody that your memories are incorrect. You don't really know who you are. But he did something else that was, I think, even more sophisticated, that goes to the heart of the problem of identity. So in the original Swamp Thing, a scientist gets blown up along with his regeneration serum, and they all get thrown into a swamp. So in the original, the man's corpse goes into the swamp with the regeneration, and he regenerates as a plant-like fungus thing, made of algae or something, and plants. So he's a man that's been transformed into a plant being. Now, when Alan Moore rewrote it, he did this. He had the man discover that the actual scientist was dead, his body was gone, and the only thing that transferred into the plant being were the memories. So the time worm is interrupted there, and it's an entirely new being that just thinks he's Alec or Alex or Alec or Alex. His name changed too, it's weird. So that is intriguing, isn't it? Who is he? Who is he? Is he a plant that thinks he's a human? They did the same thing with Miracle Man. This guy forgets he's a superhero. When he does remember that he's a superhero, he finds out that his idea about his past is wrong. And he also finds out that he and the superhero have two different physical beings. That he turns into somebody else, but it's not the same person. And that person even has a slightly different mind. And slightly different memories and personalities. So it's really not him. So who is he? Is he really Miracle Man? Or is he not? Oh, who are we? That's not me, Ma. That's the ship of Theseus. One time my Meemaw actually turned into the ship of Theseus. And I was really confused. Who is that? I mentioned Henry Clay earlier. They did that with his house. He actually built a house in the specific location in Lexington. And it was actually built very... How many times can I say actually? If you count, take a drink every time I say it. You've heard of the apparently boy. I'm the actually boy. He built this house, and it was built with bad bricks or something, and it started to crumble. So after he died, his son had it demolished and rebuilt the house on the same location, basically the same floor plan, slightly different architecture, and they call it the Henry Clay House. Very much a Ship of Theseus situation, isn't it? Yes, it is. Who's the real house? Who are you? I don't know. Are you Hardy White? I'm definitely Hardy White. I know I am, because I have all my memories. I'm pretty sure I know who I am, right? And you know I am, so of course you're Hardy. Right, that's exactly right. We all know what's true. Now, something else has occurred to me. What? Are you sure it's not gas? It could be. I have often mistaken biological functions for moods. Sometimes when I have bad internal gas, I think, am I in a bad mood or am I bloated? It's hard to tell sometimes. Is it hormones? I don't even know what's going on inside of me. I'm a mystery to myself. How my memories got there. Sometimes they're wrong. Things I think about myself are wrong. Look at Scanners or whatever, movies like that. I don't think that's the name of the movie, but I guess that was the book. Hang on a minute. I want to... All right, I'm back. So it happens not only with people, does it, identity? It can happen with stories. We don't even know if they're true. Let's take something like Shakespeare. The other day I was walking down the street and the neighbor boy, Peanut, I don't know why I call him that. His head is now proper size again, but he's always little Peanut to me. And he comes home and goes, we're starting to learn about Shakespeare. I said, that's great. And he said, you know, Shakespeare has, in his day, appealed to regular people, you know, just your common person. And now it's mostly sophisticated, educated people that, you know, who enjoy Shakespeare. I said, that's very interesting. But is it the same Shakespeare? He goes, yes, of course it is. And I said, well, consider time. Let's add some time to this and see what happens. Now, let's say I take Shakespeare and I replace the place they're in. What is it? Italy or I forget where Romeo and Julio happens. Julio? That's how I say it. Juliet. Romeo and Julio would be fine now. I would like that updated a little bit. And that's what I'm going to talk about. So let's turn it into New York. And then let's take the families and make them gangs or something like the Sharks and the Jets. And now you got West Side Story, right? Is it still Romeo and Juliet? And West Side Story appeals to your average everyday person. No, it doesn't. I'm just saying. But anyway, those themes, you could adopt things from, take Shakespeare plays, turn them into movies that everybody goes to, and you don't even know you're seeing a Shakespeare play because its parts have been replaced. But is it still there? Sort of is. The essence of it. What's an essence? Again, I don't know. I think it's a perfume. Everything has changed on you except your scent. I still know it's you because I can smell you. Yeah, that's you. That's you, all right. Same stink coming from people, old people. I love them. They have an odor. Everything changes, but does it stay the same? Who are you? So people say, well, that's not my grandmother. She's lost all her memories. That isn't her. That isn't the ship of Theseus because it doesn't have the same parts as it once did. That isn't the house of Henry Clay. And I will say, a lot of these are the problem with language, isn't it? So it's language that's imprecise and wrong, probably not encountering a paradox at all. What we're encountering is the limitations of language. Language isn't like mathematics or something. It's not specific. So when I've talked about the heap paradox, where, you know, how much is a heap? How many grains of corn is a heap of corn? Right? We don't know exactly. How many hairs is bald? Right? You can be bald with just a few hairs. So when is it bald? That's because bald and heap are vague terms. We kind of know them when we see them, and they change. They're just something we kind of use as it sort of works. You see what I'm saying? Like a circle. Say, oh, pi is infinite. How can we measure things with it? Doesn't have to be precise, just has to be circle-ish. Bald-ish is enough. So that guy's bald, you know what I mean. All right, say yes, he's missing some amount of hair, enough I can maybe see his scalp, something like that. So all the language we use is vague. So when I say that is the ship of Theseus, it never really is. When I say that's Meemaw, it's never really Meemaw. Meemaw-ish. Ship-ish. Don't say anything bad. I'm going to say a bad word, a mistake or something. I might almost said sheepish, which is a curse word. No, it's not. So, wow. Hardy, don't tell me that none of us really exist. Well, none of us really exist. But I believe there are three types of questions. And I said this the other day to some of you. So those of you who did, this would be a great time to go have a snack and use the bathroom. That's why the kitchen and the bathroom should be the same room. But I think there's three types of questions. The first type of question is, what is reality? What's the universe? Right? What is the nature of reality? The second type of question is, why are humans the way they are? Who are we? What is all this? What am I? The third type of question is, where's the bathroom? Where's the bathroom? When do we eat? Now, a lot of times we ask the third type of question and people want to answer the first two type of questions, which is pointless, right? If we have a need, if we have pain, it doesn't help to start talking about human nature or your purpose or things like that. So, oh, I have pain. Maybe you just need a sandwich. I don't know. I only feel even answering the third type of question is difficult sometimes, right? And people lie about that. Where's the bathroom? Oh, it's over there. Because maybe they're hung up on the second type of question or something. They want to manipulate you. So they're not thinking about the present needs. Now these things are just important to us for a while. Because once we're dead or dying, it doesn't matter about using the bathroom, right? Or even if we're out alone in the wilderness, bathroom doesn't matter. Every place is the bathroom. The world is my bathroom. The forest is my bathroom. So the forest is my kitchen. But it does matter, let's say, if you're in a group of people. So this all has to do with local rules and the faraway rules. It's like concentric circles, right? And the one that matters most is our little tight little circle where we're living, where it doesn't matter if bald is a specific term. It doesn't matter. What you want to know is, I got to use the potty. Where is it? That's what's important. So if I was to say, are you a nominalist? Do you believe that concepts really exist, that there's really such a thing as three? Yes, and it's pi. No. Oh, no. And is there such a thing as anything? I think there probably isn't. I think things are probably just differentiated because the entire substance of the universe and all the multiverses or whatever, what have you, is fractured. That really it's a big one. Just there's one stuff thing and it's all broken up and we live in just a broken part of it. That's why time seems like it's going in order and it's not everything is happening at once. But you see, that doesn't mean anything if you're hungry or you're in pain or anything. That may be true. And you see in philosophy classes, if you say, well, I believe nothing exists, somebody will come over and pinch you and go, is that real? I think that's real. Now, that's a very smart aleck thing to do because both things can be true. Absolutely, both things can be true. It just happens to be a local versus a bigger picture kind of thing. In the big picture, you really don't matter. In the big picture, maybe there is no Hardy White. Maybe I don't matter. But to me, from my perception, my point of view, I do matter. So a lot of these things, I believe in all philosophy is great. And I believe psychology is wonderful. And we should explore all these things. And I'm not anti-science at all. Explore, answer questions. All you want. I think it's great. And it's important, but not to the exclusion of answering these little basic local questions. Oh, based on ignorance. You can be stupid and find out the key to the universe. I proposed a paradox not long ago. I almost put something on Facebook, just kind of as a joke. And somebody said, oh, my five-year-old solved it. And said the five-year-old's answer. Well, the five-year-old's answer was unequivocal, but it ignored the information that was actually in the problem, you see. It was about a bet, and the child assumed that all bets are for money. So the child assumed something was outside of the problem, but that was more practical. Now, it was wrong, it was not sophisticated, and it certainly wasn't the solution to the problem. But see, in the mind of the child, it's all over, it's fixed. Because in the child's world, winning was enough, because that, you know, gives you the money. All right, and I won't tell you something. Well, just tell us the problem. You're telling stories. Isn't it annoying? Because that's not the point. The point is that a child's answer can be both right and wrong, because the child is right. And so I guess it's right. Is it all about perception? I don't know. I'm rambling on a bit, aren't I? Yes, you are. Get to the heart of things. All right, let me tell you where the bathroom is. First of all, let me go into my mind palace. Did you get that from Sherlock Holmes? No, he got it from me. Well, why? You time travel? Yes. First of all, I'd like to say this. Sherlock Holmes, fictional character. Hardy White, real person. Right? So you figure it out. Time travel. Is it possible? Yes. I do it all the time.
Oh, right. You just go, you were in the past, now you're in the future.
Very funny. No, I mean, I jump between times. How do you do it? I don't know, because here's the thing about time travel. If you time travel and you bring your memories with you, then you create a paradox. Like, how could I just show up in Victorian England? I know Doctor Who does it, but I would be immediately altering things. So when you time travel, you have to be somebody who was supposed to already be there. So either you were there or you weren't. But if you're there, you won't remember that you were never there. It will seem like you were always there. So whenever I time travel, I am that person in that time. I just don't remember. So right now, I am time traveling. I live in the future or the past. It just feels like I'm supposed to be here. But I know this isn't where I really belong. Why? Because I can remember slightly into the future. Prove it. I can prove it. If I was around you, I could tell you what was going to happen, maybe. Really? Oh, yes. Oh, I'm pretty sure. I can see slightly into the future. And I'm accurate to, 80-90%. Now, the farther the future goes, the less accurate I am. But you'll see. You can do it, too. So you'll never be absolutely sure you're time traveling, but you can be sort of sure. And like I said, I have more of Chateaubriand's memories than he has. Therefore, I am Chateaubriand. Therefore, I lived in the 18th century. Do you follow me? I'm a lot of people. That's why people think they're reincarnated and everything. They're not reincarnated. That's impossible. They're time traveling. And, of course, you can be Marie Antoinette. Aren't we all? Aren't we all Marie Antoinette? Aren't we all Hardy White? If you listen to my shows, and I've got a lot of them. Oh, they're all archived, like memories and a big brain. The WFMU archives are like a large brain, and in them is contained so much. Now, if you were to go and to listen to all my shows, and then I had the good fortune to drop dead, you would then have more information about me than I had. Therefore, you would be me. Now, could you do the same voice? Sometimes. Just like I've talked about on past shows, when Winnie the Pooh's voice died, they get someone else to do it. Right? And this maybe sounds a little bit different. But, the people that did those original voices are dead. So they get impressionists to do it. And aren't we all just impressionists? Aren't we all Rich Little? Just doing an impression. Aren't we all Fred Travellina? Fred Travellina, Mr. Fred Travellina. Fred Travellina, Mr. Fred Travellina. Isn't that an old rap song? I think it is. You say it's Bob Dabalina. Nope. Fred Travellina. Pretty sure. That's how I remember it. I know that my memories are imprecise. And I know that they've changed over time, and things that I used to believe are now wrong. And I wonder if me in the past was ever me. I wonder who I am. What do you mean there's no Meemaw? What do you mean there's no ship of Theseus? Well, yes, there is, and there isn't. You've got to just, at some point, realize that you've arbitrarily must decide that these things are who they are. And that even though there's a lot of evidence that that's not the ship of Theseus, nobody would know what you were talking about if he didn't have a word for it, necessarily. So language is imprecise, but it helps you find out where the bathroom is. The things I say may not even be true, but they can still help you, point you in the right direction, meet some of your needs, ease some of your pain, and maybe that's not the point of life. Maybe life has some grand scheme, but how does that have anything to do with you when your gut is aching? If you're bleeding out, you need a doctor, not a philosopher. And what I'm saying is that more often than not, you're hungry and bleeding out, or you got to drop a deuce or something. All right? So that information is important. And I'm going to concentrate on answering those questions for you, maybe just helping you now. That's why I may talk about things that are beyond my ken. My ken is a little person in me. Hello, I'm Ken. It is Ken. It's Ken Jennings. He's in my head. And he knows lots of things, but they're all beyond me. I'm not that smart. I'm no Ken Jennings. I'm not. I'm no Ken anybody. I'm no Kenny G. I'm no Kenny G. I'm no one of them. I'm not as smart as either one of them. But I'll tell you this, if I knew where the bathroom was and you didn't, I could help you out, and I might even be your hero. So, Hardy, you have helped me. A couple times I've had a lot of abdominal pressure, and you said, it's right over there with the little person on the door. Thank you, sir. Thank you. So when I say things like, I want to help you, make you feel better, maybe they're not even true or universally true or something, or maybe they're oversimplifications. I love you, or maybe I might say, or you're good enough, or it's okay, or I'll keep you company, or do you want some ice chips in a magazine? Because I almost said I'm a human candy striper, but I believe candy stripers are humans. Not everybody who works at the hospital is a human. Yes, there are robots at the hospital. I was in there the other day for blood tests. Why were you blood tests? Just routine. Checking out my blood sugar and also my cholesterol and everything. Very good. Blood sugar, not so good. Cholesterol, excellent. Excellent. But there was a robot going down the hall. And he takes things to people, I guess. But the candy stripers or the pink ladies or the pink people, it don't have to be ladies. Anybody can volunteer. And can I have a little dress with straps on it? I don't mind. Doesn't embarrass me. It's just clothing. I know all this gender specific stuff's not for me. Doesn't matter. I wear what I want. Call myself what I want. So I'm free as far as I'm concerned. It's you who are labeling me. So bless your heart. That's all right. I won't be a spiritual candy striper to you. Do you have a spirit? Doesn't matter, does it? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if spirit's a meaningless word. It doesn't really matter. Say, I can use the word soul and not even believe there's a literal soul. Why does that matter? So this is going to ease your soul. And depending on who says it, you'll believe it, right? Say, when the gospel show comes on after this, say, when Kevin says, oh, it's good for your soul or elevated and everything, you go, yes, oh, yes, and you accept it because he's not telling you what to think or what to believe or anything. You see what I'm saying? So, yes, I know what he means by it, and it does feel like that it refreshes my spirit, even though I don't really know what a spirit is. But I have to use imprecise words sometimes because no words are really precise. Oh, what does it mean? I don't know. I don't know. No, no, no. Just make me feel good for now. Just make me feel happy like a happy cow out in the field chewing my cud. What's your cud? It's ruminant. Cows have a second stomach called a rumen. I'm regurgitating things I ate, chewing on them a bit. I know it isn't fresh food. I've already eaten it. I just want something to chew. Nom, nom, nom. Please chew on this. Please ruminate on this. Hardy White will give you chewed up grass to chew on with him. Please join me out in the field. We are happy, contented cows. I should say bovine because cow is gender specific to a female bovine. You're full of bull. Okay, I get your joke. I'm clapping my hands. Why? To remind me that I'm still alive, 'cause a hand claps like a beating heart. Our hearts beat like this in time. People who can't clap in time might have a cardiac arrhythmia. And skipping a beat is fine. Skipping a beat is fine. Sometimes it is a syncopated thing that must happen that keeps it interesting. Oh, my friends, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're together on the ear. I'm glad that I am in your ear and in your head. I exist almost entirely in your head, in your imagination, as does Butchie and as does Lou. Isn't that interesting? Yes, are Butchie and Lou real? Yes. They are as real as I am. And really, they're as real as you are. Can you imagine that? They have memories. They have stories. Haven't you felt bad for them sometimes? Haven't you cried for them? Haven't you cried at an animated show or a cartoon? Haven't you cried at a movie? Haven't you been just as moved by that as by real life? Isn't that amazing? Haven't you been scared by fiction? Haven't you read something that's terrified you? How can that possibly be? Because it's all going inside your head. It's all going on in there. Just like Paul Simon said, it's all happening at the zoo. I do believe it. I do believe it's true. And he goes, the lions, they are captives, and the penguins are captives too, and the monkeys, they are prisoners, and the elephant is too, and the bears, they all are prisoners, they're all trapped in the zoo, 'cause the zoo is a prison for animals, it's not a research station like they're trying to pass it off as it's a prison, and they just are trying to explain it in scientific terms to make it sound much better, just like Galton did when he tried to make eugenics sound scientific. People give scientific names to make things sound legitimate, just like Wilhelm Marr changed the word Jew hate to anti-Semitism to make it sound as if it were legitimate science. Oh, words, 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 words mold the world. Oh, your world is based on words, and words are imprecise, and they don't really exist, and sometimes I don't love you. I'm going to go to the hospital.
Fasanta kafafafasalak. Fadi kolu hu nemechan bakiklak. Nemel hosh mili ling ta hava fasant. Pinle bam amo never dab san grad. Now, so, I just bore me. I will live the other chrome bone then as if in hearty white.
And so sometimes words fail me. Words always fail me. Words fail everybody. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't work. And sometimes you think because you used words and something works that it was the words that did it. Maybe not. Maybe it was just pure intention. Maybe I could be anybody in keeping you company. Literally. Literally, I could be. People have said, oh, I fall asleep to you sometimes. Yes, just like one of those sleep sound things that's making a sound like a washing machine or a fan or a rainstorm. I could just be a rainstorm. Do you ever listen to one of those things and it's, you know, it's a loop of a rainstorm or a sound of a machinery or something? Like that. And I've listened to those to go to sleep. And occasionally I start to hallucinate and hear things in it. Mr. Sherbert. And I go, I'm saying Mr. Sherbert. Mr. Sherbert. Mr. Sherbert. And I'll start to hear voices in it and everything because I'm starting to assign some meaning to the pattern, right? Oh, you see, it's like seeing faces in your pack of camels and everything. You want to see it, and so you do. Oh, you want to see identity. You want to believe you're alive and other people are walking around there alive. You want to see it. Oh, let yourself, let your imagination go. Let yourself... go ahead and accept life. You don't have to figure it out. Just be alive. Let it wash over you. If you're in pain, ask for help. If you're in pain, ask for help. Let yourself love. All these things. Don't try to figure them out. You can figure them out as a hobby. Don't, you know, you can even do it for a living. If you want to be a professional philosopher, psychologist, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. It's a good vocation. Just do not forget the basic things. Let yourself embrace two things at once. Let yourself be able to answer the first two types of questions, but never forget to answer the third type of question. Never forget where the bathroom is. Never forget when we eat. Never forget that there's those who need to eat or use the bathroom or are in pain. Oh, my friends, are you lonely? Are you lonely going through something? Hardy White knows, oh, I have those human feelings too. And I reach out to you in these troubling times. All times are troubling. I know, isn't that great? So you can just recycle those cliches from the past. We live in troubling times, as does everyone who's ever lived. You're going to go through the same things, facing your own mortality, and even worse, facing the loss of those you care for. But it can be occasionally made a little bit easier. How's that?
I don't know.
Comic books? I don't know. I'm reading a couple. They're nice. I recommended a few to you. Go out and read them. I want to bless you right now and send so many good feelings to you. Remind you that you are listening to me, Hardy White, a real live person, on the Miracle Nutrition. It's just Miracle Nutrition. There's no the. Lowly Worm, Miracle Nutrition, no the. On the WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. Please go there and search the archives for all your favorite shows. Please write me at I'll put the address in later. No, you can track me down. If you want to enough. I always say that. No one does. Bless you. Don't have to. Don't force. Don't feel forced to write me. Because then I feel the pressure respond. But I'll tell you, just pray. Put that out in the universe. Just think about me. That's enough. All right? Oh, bless you, my friends. And I will see you again next week.
And I wouldn't know. You have those kids out there, the police is getting ready to do a roundup, and they could go to jail and you might not never see them anymore.
Don't you know God talks to me? I said, God talks to me. God talks to me. I said, God talks to me. Don't you know God talks to me? God talks to me. He ever speak to you? Well, now, since God spoke to me, my heart.
in the days of Noah. Yes, he said, I want you
to build me an ark
just to save those who love me,
for they are moments roll. When I speak,
just obey me, child,
and I'll save your precious soul.
Don't you know God talks to me? I say, God talks to me. Don't you know
God talks to me?
I said, God talks to me. Do you ever speak to you?
Did he ever?
Since God spoke to me. I said, since God spoke to me.
Well, the Spirit keeps moving.
It's moving right now
on the altar, child of my heart.
Sister Ann Graham and her gospel trio and the mighty fine gospel number. God talks to me is what Sister Ann was singing about. It's the Gotham record label from 1950. A mighty fine sounding record as well. And right before that, we heard the Highway QCs, one of my favorite tracks that they've done. And Jesus, I'm Waiting. Howie QC's. And Ann Graham, Sister Ann Graham, Gospel Trio. Getting us underway this evening here on Sinner's Crossroads on WFMU. My name is Kevin Nutt. Thanks for tuning in. Whether intentionally or serendipitously, good for you. Stay tuned for the next 50 minutes or so for some rousing, roof-raising gospel. We'll start the next set with Such a Number, the Silver Harps, on their own label. And the bells, when they ring them golden bells that they just call the bells, the Silver Harps.